So believe that. And so I was going to share something this morning very similar. And I really believe it's happening now. I've run across so many things as I've been preparing to for this move, going through all my old journals and tossing out what I need to toss out, and found out I couldn't toss out a whole lot, but now we have computers so I can copy it all and put it on there, and I don't have to carry papers around anymore. I'm finally wising up to that. So, God is doing a new thing, and this whole move to Israel is not that I'm going to go there and do what I've done here, but in a sense I will, but it'll be in a different way. I'm going there with nothing planned. There's a place, two places for me to minister, one in Jerusalem and one in Arad. And I've shared that with you before. But the Lord told me day by day. And so I'm learning to go day by day, because as my apartment is being emptied, as of next week, I will be homeless. So if you were looking for me, I'll be in a cardboard box underneath the viaduct. So this was given to me on July 4th, 1991. I'm going to share this word. You've heard part of it, but I want to read the whole word. And I had been praying for a long, long time. Where is the power in your church, Lord? What's going on? You all know that story. My power is in my love. My love is in my son, and my son is in you. But I want to share the whole thing as I got it from July 4th, 1991. You saw, and here it is. You ask, where is the power? My power is in my love. My people seek my power in signs and wonders more than they seek me. That's July 4th, 1991. They want signs and wonders for their own glory, but not for the glory of my son. They want power for themselves through signs and wonders. And that's all I hear in the church today. And I'm really kind of getting tired and sick and tired of it, because you are a sign and a wonder. You're the sign and the wonder. Your being born again is a sign and a wonder. Your being changed into the image of Jesus Christ is a sign and a wonder. And why do you wonder about that? Because it's the greatest truth that we have ever known. Sorry, I didn't mean to preach. Yes, I did. But anyway, it says this: their hearts have been hardened to my ways because they seek to satisfy the flesh and that which is of the world. When I speak truth in love. They say they are my spokesman, but their heart is in their own game. Now, I've seen this happen in the body of Christ. I'm not saying it's happened everybody or everywhere, but it was a fact that God was saying what he was seeing and what he was sensing. And that's part of what Debbie was saying about the glory. You know, we took the glory for ourselves. We can't do that. They say they are my spokesman, but their heart is in their own gain. My love is all that my word says it is in 1 Corinthians 13. In my love, I also discipline my people. I'm disciplining my people to seek me with all their heart so that they may truly become one with me. They must come to the door of my love. My love is in my son. If they truly know him, they know me. My Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will lead, guide, and teach them all that I am, when they accept him as the person through whom I work in these days. Where's the power, you ask? The power's in my love. Seek my love by the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he will flood you with the light of who I am and cause you to humble yourselves before me daily. You will no longer fear the world and what the world thinks of me or my people. Think about that. You will no longer fear the world and what the world thinks of me or my people. My love is all that I am. As my people continue to seek me by the indwelling Holy Spirit, they will begin to understand this. He is the Spirit of truth. Remember, my son, the truth stands firmly alone. This is what God spoke to me personally. He said, remember this, my son. The truth stands firmly alone with no need of man's defense, for the truth is in my Son, and in him stands my love and all that I am. The power of my love will flow like a flood upon the earth, like an all-consuming fire, when my people humble themselves and worship me in spirit and in truth. That is, by the Spirit of truth, who desires to dwell freely in them and work my love freely through them to a lost and dying world. Just exactly what Debbie was saying. The time is too short for pursuing personal things. I will supply all the needs my people have by my Son, the living word of myself. But my people must now learn by my discipline, because they have hardened their hearts to my ways. They have chosen to make their ways with my word, when my word should be forming my ways in them, so that they can be known of me, and that the world may see who I am by the Spirit of truth living freely in them. You've tasted only part of the truth. You've tasted only a small portion of my love. Seek all that I am by the Spirit of truth in you, in the name of my Son, the authority of me in you. This is where I believe we need to go. We've been trying to figure things out for so long by our minds and our emotions and our feelings, and when they get in the way, God's voice is filtered through our stuff. You understand that? God's voice is filtered through our stuff, through our fears, through our anxieties, through our needs, and on and on and on. Well, one way God does this, he strips you of everything. And I'm being stripped of everything. But you know what? I give it up freely because I don't want it. I don't need it. This is one of the biggest steps of faith I've ever taken in my whole life, doing this and going to Israel. But I'm leaving this place in really good hands. Really good hands. People who are dedicated and committed to what God wants to do here. And I really want your support, mostly through prayer, so that I can hear him clearly. I was talking to my friend Tiki just a couple nights ago, and I said, one of the things I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be praying all the time and seeking the Word and seeking God every day, because I have the time, and that's what he's going to have me do first and foremost. So I believe there's an army rising that will first be on their knees before they get up and say something. There's an army rising that's going to be first on their knees before they get up and say something and do something. And they will have the heart of the very God of Israel, in the sense that they will say and do only what he says and does. That's the whole thing about Yeshua or Jesus, is that he only did what the Father saw or told him to do or taught him. We haven't got there yet. Sorry to tell you. But we will. We will get there. But to rise up, you have to be down on your knees before you can rise up. I'm just saying to you guys this because this is something I have to let go of, is you and this place and this ministry. Because God's going to do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing here. He's going to be doing a new thing in me. How can you do a new thing in an old person? Well, hallelujah. What's it to you? I believe he will. Yeah. So lots of things are changing. My God, I got all kinds of time. Folks, we have a challenge before us, and we have an opportunity before us. And sometimes challenges come through opportunities. And sometimes opportunities come through challenges. But God is challenging us by the very things that Debbie shared this morning, and by the very things that He gave me in that word in July 4th, 1991. I've been trying to preach that word and live that word since that time. Obstacles came. They got in the way. Sometimes I had to plow through. Sometimes I had to overcome. But I couldn't plow through or overcome without the overcoming dwelling in me and living in me. You see, it's not about me or you or any. It's about who He is in us and through us. And you guys got to get that. We got to get that. We got to get that. We're so focused on my hurt, my pain, my needs, my desires. There's a psalm. Psalm 37, I think. Let's go there real quick. I fed off of this word for many years. Psalm 37. Because that was an obstacle that I needed to go through. So Psalm 37, verse 1. Start there. Do not fret because of evildoers. We've been fretting in this world because of evildoers, and as Debbie referred to, the political things that we... So, well, you know, if we get this guy in, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'm glad we got the one we got. And if you don't like it, too tough because he's there. Now pray for him. Yeah. Yeah. And they're trying to get him out already. When we tried to get the other one out, nobody listened. And now already this guy's been in, 100 days or more? I don't know, just a short time, and they're wanting to impeach him already. Anyway, do not fret because of evildoers. That's what the word says. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Now Larry and Joni have the greatest teaching I've ever heard on iniquity, and we need to pay attention to that. So they'll be sharing that again, I hope, someday soon. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. They will soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Soon. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. I'm going to tell you something. My late wife Gail and I stepped out in this a long, long time ago, and we have fed on His faithfulness. He has never, ever let us down. He's never left us hungry. He's never left us stranded. Never. And it wasn't just about finances, folks. We went through some stuff. And we went through some stuff because the body of Christ wasn't happy with the way we were doing certain things and so forth and so on. And, you know, so anyway, we went through stuff. But we got over it, and some of them got over it. So trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. Yes, yes, yes. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I used to misinterpret that because, oh, Lord, I have this desire in my heart. And He says, well, let me give you a better one. He always comes through with His promises and a better desire. Sometimes our desires are fleshly desires, needful desires, so forth and so on. But He has a desire that's greater than all of that. He says, let me give you a new desire. Man, He comes through. He comes through. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. This is old covenant. Come on. It's wisdom. It's God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's just given us better promises with a better covenant with a better promise. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, holy cow, our culture doesn't want to rest and wait patiently for God. We got things to do, people to see, things to learn, you know? We got to be educated. We got to do all this, we got to do that. Rest in the Lord. That's one of the things I'll say for Israel. Most of Israel, not all of Israel. But there is a true Sabbath rest, if you will. And on Friday afternoon, things start to close up and people go and they go to their homes. And if they have people coming over for Shabbat dinner, they bring flowers, they bring joy, they bring love. They sing together, they eat together, they worship God. They worship God. The best way they know how to worship God. And the ones that I'm worshiping with, they know how to worship God really, really well. Really, really well. I mean, we just worship God. We have a meal and, you know, we just work together and do things together and it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. If you can rest at that in one day, then you can rest in Him every day. You have to rest in Him. Learn how to rest. Stop striving over everything. Stop striving over everything. Well, what am I going to do when you get old? Well, you'll eventually die. But in the interim, you can be joyful, full of hope, good looking, and young like me. I keep telling myself that every time I look in the mirror. You are young, good looking like me. You know what? I'm finding this, that it's not an attitude, it's a lifestyle. And the lifestyle is in the youth of the blood of Jesus that dwells within us. Yeah. Y'all know I hurt my back recently and I've been on going to my chiropractor and he's giving me a lumbar, traction. I feel like I'm in the dungeon and they're stretching me out. But you know what? It's working. And I've asked God for a new L4 with cartilage. You know what? I believe He'll give it to me. I believe He'll give me that. You know, He's the miracle worker. He's the miracle worker. I don't want to go over there like this. Well, I'm walking up the streets of Jerusalem today. Hallelujah. What's it to you? You know, so anyway. I want to be running up the streets of Jerusalem. Yeah. So anyway. I got so much to share with you guys. It's just like my heart is breaking for you to come into the place of your life in Him and who He is and who you are in Him. This is not about having a great Sunday morning meeting. It's great that we have Sunday morning meetings. It's great that we have Saturday night meetings. It's great that we have Shabbat. It's great that we have all these things. But are we growing in Him? Are we being who we're supposed to be in Him? Or are we just sitting there still trying to figure that out? Well, let me think. If I do this, this could happen. If I have to do that, that could happen. Logically speaking, I could do this and that would really be great. God's not so logical. Have you noticed that? God's not so logical. From our perspective of logic and what logic is. I want to encourage you guys. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. This is really a novel thing from the Old Covenant. I'm going to read this right because it's a novel thing. In the body of Christ, we'll learn this eventually. It says, cease from anger. What? I know a woman that takes mean pills. She told me so. I'm just kidding, but I do know one. You know, do not fret. It only causes harm. Being fretful and frustrated only causes harm to who? To you and everybody else around you. Because you're affecting everything. When you are a child of the living God, and you represent the living God, and what you bring into an atmosphere will change the atmosphere. Think about that. What you bring as a member of the body of Christ, whether you bring in your religious righteousness or you bring in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, two different things. But you're going to affect the atmosphere you bring it into. So rather than us coming with the idea, well, you know, they got a crappy attitude today. Well, how can you change that? By having a wonderful attitude. Or join them in crappiness. Hey, you know what? We have the authority, we have the power. That is who we are. We can change things because He dwells in us and He wants to change things through us. Because He dwells in us. And because that's who He is in us. And that's who we are in Him. And we're being conformed to only one image. And it's not crappiness. And it's not anger. It's not being fretful. It's, you know, when you're that way, you're living the ways of the world. And Paul said, do not be conformed to the ways of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your heart, everything that you are in Him and who He is in you. What Debbie shared this morning, you know, we can either stay in the old wineskin or get ready for the new. Having hung around with some of the people she mentioned in the 90s, things changed. Changed my way of thinking, my way of living, my way of seeing God. And then God sent Gail and I over to Israel. And we changed totally. Totally changed us from a perspective of who God is. Because they see God totally differently than most of the church. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. The Hebraic roots are a good thing. They really are. But if you take them back to the religious ways, they suck. And I'm just going to say it like it is because I've watched it. I know I can tell you this. God is sending me and probably many others like me over there to do a couple of things. Bring in the truth of the one new man and bring in the truth of the foundation, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And all of that has to do with many things. Hebraic roots is one of them. But we don't live by Hebraic roots. We live by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ who dwells within us. What we learn from that is who He is and what His purpose was in the earth. And what the purpose of the Jewish people, if you will, is in the earth. And until they get that, we're on hold. That's the apple of God's eyes. I'm trying to tell you that. That's the apple of God's eyes. And until we bring them the message of His love and His righteousness and not go over there and try to convert them into something that we think we are or let them convert us into something that they think they are, we're on hold. What we need and what God's doing is bringing his son there. I have a friend who's a Messianic Jew who lives up in Tiberias, wonderful man of God named Arnie Klein. And he says, every time you or somebody like you comes over here, he says, I look at it this way. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Wow, I was honored that he thinks. There's others say, oh, you're just a Gentile, you know, you don't know much. And we hold the scepter until Shiloh comes. Well, Shiloh came. Anyway, just venting without notes this morning. So thank you, God. But I want us to get it as a congregation because we are connected. We've been connected since that lovely blonde creature that I was married to got the revelation of the Hebraic roots and began to teach it from a very balanced perspective. And you know, I thought that was my revelation, but God gave it to her for some reason. You know, I ended up teaching the freaking prophetic. But now I'm going over there with both. With somebody new who is actually a Hebrew. So it's all good. It's all wonderful. I just want you guys to know that you're part of this. You're part of this. Do you really understand what it means to be grafted in? That we are part of the commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth of Israel. We're no longer Jew, Gentile, male or female, bond or free. We're one new man. And the one new man is not Jewish. The one new man is not Gentile. The one new man is not a woman. It's not a man. The one new man is not bond and not free. The one new man is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And that's who you are. Because the whole creation is waiting for you to say, okay, I'm finally get it. I'm one new man. I'm a son of God. And let God cut off your zizits or whatever he needs to cut off and just go on. Because it's not about that. It's not about that. You're not being made in that image. But Jesus wears, I don't know if Jesus did wear zizits. Didn't mention it in any of his teachings, but maybe he did, I don't know. You know? And I'm not trying to criticize that, I'm just saying that's not the picture of who we are. I need your help. What I'm going to do over there is difficult. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need for you to just say, Lord, be with Rich today and give him wisdom. Give him wisdom. I need a lot of wisdom. My two sons who love God and so forth and so on. Dad, you know, we don't even know if we want to come and visit you because it's dangerous over there. Well, hello. Whoopee. I'll do my last Bob Jones impersonation. Years ago, he told me, he says, you know, I said, well, we'll be going over there in the last days, Bob. And he says, well, you'd be a lot safer over there than you will over here. So I'm fine. But I do have peace about doing this whole thing about going there and about being there and all these things. And I do have peace about that. And I have even joy about it. And the enemy tried to steal some of my joy recently. And I thought, wow, you know what? This can't be God because trying to steal my joy. Steal my joy. That's my joy. Right. Not his. You guys got some joy. He's trying to steal your joy. Stop it. Don't let him have it. You know? You know, it's kind of like, I don't want to go there because I might embarrass somebody. But there's an old joke, I'm not going to tell you that. It's about a bear and how you capture a polar bear. You've all heard it. Never mind. Now I have to commit to telling the joke? No way. No. Anyway, you just got to realize that the same authority that the 70 had, and they were all enthused about it, you have also in a greater measure, because they were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. They were not yet born again. They just had the authority which overcame the dunamis power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, I think it is, says that I give you authority over all the dunamis power of the enemy. Our authority is greater than his supernatural power. Our authority, we walk in that, we live in that, that's who we are. It's greater than his supernatural power. And he does have supernatural power. But our authority is greater. Yeah, it is. So don't let him steal your joy. Don't let him steal your peace. Don't let him steal your love. Don't let him steal anything. Because he will try to steal it. It says in the last days that he will deceive even the elect, if possible. I'm asking you this as I've asked you before. Is it possible for you to be deceived? Is it? We have to be really, really careful in these last days. We have to be really, really on top of things. Have that really deep, deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship with him. And as you look at him, as you reflect on him, as you become one with him, you will look in the mirror and say, I am a son. I am a son. You cannot steal anything from me. You cannot deceive me in any way, shape, or form, because I am a son. And I represent him, and I am like him, and I am being conformed to his image only. So don't mess with me, because I'm a son. Don't try to deceive me. You've heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, Satan doesn't have any new tricks. He's just an old dog. Do you understand? That's why Paul put on the armor of God. Because of the wiles of the devil, the scheming devices of the devil. Of which, he doesn't have any new ones, but he might try to train some of the old ones just to deceive you. Okay, y'all getting bored now, I'm going to go. So, oh, my glasses. By the way, I don't want to wear these anymore either. So we'll see what God does with that. For evildoers shall be cut off. Verse 9 of Psalm 37. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Wow. That means that the kingdom of God will be on the earth, because we're going to inherit it. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. No more. Are we giving him a place? It says his place shall be no more. If we're giving him a place, then he will take charge of it. It's just like every historical place in Israel that is actually has Hebrew heritage, or actually a tomb or a memorial of somebody or someone, the Muslims come along and they put up a tower. and they proclaim it as their own. I say this, the towers shall fall. The towers shall fall. The first time I went into the Dome of the Rock, an Israeli friend of mine says, I want you to look at the readings around on the inside of the dome. And they were in Islam. And I said, well, I don't read Islam. He says, well, I'll tell you what they say. It says, God has no son. That's what it says. I walked out of there and immediately I had this vision of the Dome of the Rock crumbling and falling. Hallelujah. Ooh. I could start a war. You know what? God's in charge of that whole scenario. In charge of that whole scenario. And it's all going to be good. It's going to be really, really good. And I get to walk in that to some degree, whatever it may be. Leaving here, you know, I'm going to save this for whenever y'all are going to throw me out of here on Saturday, whatever it is. It's June the 3rd or what. But I have things I have to share before that. Even then, I'm going to share that day, whether you like it or not. So anyway, so there you are. I have things to say, things that you need to know, things that are important for this congregation to go forward, because I expect to see each and every one of you in Israel at some point. I'm not going to lead no freaking tour, by the way, but I'll hook you up with that if that's what you want. If you want to see the land, then we'll see the land. But, you know, I mean, if you want to go on a tour, see Bud. I mean, I'm just throwing you, Bud. I'm kidding. No, it's there's getting into the grassroots of things is really where you learn, and you become part of what's going on there, and you begin to understand it even deeper than just going on a tour. Tours are nice, but usually they're led by non-believing Orthodox folks or secular folks. They know the history really, really well, and history is important and it's wonderful. But if you see it from God's perspective, it's even greater. It'll touch your heart. It'll change the way you see things. It will. So I expect to see you all over there within the next six to 8 months or to 10 years, whatever. By the way, I went and had my physical last week, my yearly physical. And I said, Doc, how much time do I have? And he said the same thing as he did last year. 20 to 25 years or so. Right. So, anyway. That's good. My blood test came back a couple days later. Clear as a bell. Everything's good. All I'm waiting on is that L4 and the cartilage to go with it. Right now I feel good, because up here when you're doing this, you'd have no pain. All the pain goes because you're in Him and He's in you, and you're just sharing who He is. So when I'm up here, I have no back pain. So I'll just stay up here. I love you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for just listening. And Debbie, thank you for giving us that word in that Reader's Digest forum. Those guys have, for some reason, tolerated me for all these years. But I love them. And good to have some of the originals here. The only ones left. So, thank you all.